Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Creative Juice Box podcast. If this is your first episode, then welcome. Nice to meet you. My name is Hannah. I'm a New York City-based portrait photographer, and this is a show where I help creative people connect with themselves better so that they can overcome creative blocks and ultimately create the work of their dreams. I'm going to make this intro kind of short and sweet because today we have a very special guest who I talked to for quite a long time. So today is one of our longest episodes yet, which I'm really excited about. Today's guest is none other than my boyfriend, Vinny Markey. Apart from being a very special person, Vinny is also a musician and audio producer with nearly 2 million followers across all platforms. And I feel like he has such an interesting perspective into not only the creative process, but also what it's like to actually create content for a large audience. And how does that affect the work that you're creating? So the kind of music and the kind of content that Vinny has made over the years has drastically changed. When he started TikTok, he actually was mostly making comedy videos. And then he shifted more into opera music, which is what his degree was in addition to audio production. As a side note, Vinny produces all of his music, and it's very fascinating for me to watch him go beep, beep, boop, boop, bop, and then just have a really awesome song at the end of the day. We've even worked together to produce one of my songs, and he's just a very talented music production artist. So in kind of combining all of this together with his very high, what we call countertenor voice, he started making videos where he was singing opera. That kind of bled into doing more covers of songs that could show off his range. And then in addition to doing covers, he would also write and produce his own pop music. But even just in the last year, I've seen him change and evolve his style so much and arrive at the kind of music that he wants to make and ultimately the kind of music that he would also listen to. If you go to his page, you'll see a lot of videos recently that people on Reddit are describing as bardcore, which I feel like completely describes the direction where his music is going. Of course, I'll let him tell you himself what he means by this. But the direction where his music is going these days is very storytelling based, it's folk music, it's very imaginative and ultimately very funny, which I feel like, as somebody who spends a lot of time with this man, is very in line with who he is as a person, and I feel like he's only becoming more and more himself. Because one of the things I love the most about this man is how incredibly funny he is. He is consistently committed to the bit, so he's always making up wacky stories and coming up with silly hypotheticals and just making me laugh. And recently, his videos have been doing that too, which I feel like is really full circle because that's the kind of videos he was starting on TikTok in the first place, little comedy skits. So it's really been an honor and a privilege to see him grow, not just grow his following, but also grow as a musician. I feel like as a creative person, I've gotten a lot out of dating somebody who is also very creative, especially because he's in such a different field than I am and has very different challenges than a photographer would, for example. So I'm very excited to share this interview with you. We were gabbing for quite a long time, so you might want to grab a juice box for this one because it's kind of long. Okay, with that, let's jump into it. Hello, everyone. I'm here with the one and only Vinny Markey.
Hi.
Say hello.
Hello.
Also known as Very, Very Vinny, which I understand to be your legal name on your birth certificate.
That's right. My parents decided when I came out, he's a very, very.
First name, very. Middle name, very. Last name, Vinny.
They just omitted the last name, actually.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyways, Vinny's here. Vinny is my boyfriend. I'm definitely going to mention that in the intro so you're not like, who is this? He is also a musician on TikTok, and I've had the wonderful pleasure of seeing into his creative process over the time of dating this man. Mm-hmm. So today I have Vinny on to actually talk about his experience making music, where he gets his inspiration, and generally how you bring your ideas to life. So, I would love for you to just start by introducing yourself, tell everybody who you are, what you do, and then I'll probably fill in the gaps as well.
Sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Vinny, short for Vincent, short for Vincenzo. I have been singing since I was 4 years old, well before I was good at it. I have distinct memories when I was in the car with my parents yelling at the top of my lungs like a song about cheese, annoying everybody in my family for years, and eventually it just ended up paying off because I just kept on singing until people started listening, and now like a sizable amount of people have been listening to my music, which is kind of, I always hoped that I would get here, but it's crazy that it is paying off.
Yeah. And Vinny does this full time. Like, this is his full time job, is making music and putting it on the internet. Also, I should mention that Vinny is a countertenor, which, can you tell the people what that means?
Yeah, so a countertenor is basically just a classically trained voice, a male classically trained voice that sings very high. So, like, the main voice parts in choir music and classical music is bass, tenor, alto, soprano. In, like, the opera world, there's the countertenor, which kind of, it's a whole thing. It kind of came about to be in the 50s because people stopped castrating children, which is good. It's a good thing.
I'm excited.
And so the countertenor kind of took the place of the castrati as just men singing in falsetto. So it's basically just men singing opera really, really high. And I studied as a countertenor at Duquesne University under the instruction of Genko Gichev, my lovely voice professor, for 4 years.
So yeah, I guess filling in the gaps, after you graduated, you have a degree in vocal performance and audio engineering. So you know how to sing, you know how to produce. Then COVID had already hit, and you decided to start posting videos on TikTok.
Yeah, so it was really kind of like a coping mechanism at first. I didn't even start posting music at first. I was just posting what I thought was funny, whether it was me wine drunk in the bathroom at 3 a.m. saying something stupid, or a dumb comedy skit for like 2 months. This was like my foundation. I built an audience of like 8,000 people just coming back for comedy videos. And then a couple months into COVID, it just kind of stopped feeling productive. Like, I think we all reached a point where it's like, how long is this rake gonna go on for? And I think I wanted to feel more productive than I had been. So I started posting music. I started posting like me singing classical, countertenor, Reinaldo, Hahn, Bach, stuff like that. And a lot of people very quickly started like catching on, like, oh, this guy has a very unique and cool voice. And so I just started kind of building this career during COVID of classical music. And eventually I branched out into like pop music and folk music. But really early on, it was just me singing classical. I thought it was really niche. I didn't even think that that many people would be interested, but they were, apparently.
Well, I feel like niche things are the things that pop off the most. Like, the more unique you are, the more specific you are, the more you create a brand around it and people like it.
So yeah.
I'm not surprised. I also want to go back to what you said about COVID feeling like a break. Because I feel like I also kind of saw COVID as like, this is a side quest that I'm doing. Or the plot line of my life stopped on March 13th, 2020.
Right, right. It will resume at one point, but this is not it.
Right. But so I took a left turn and I'm going down a different plot. And then I felt like at some point I returned back to my main plot line of my life.
Yeah.
But I love how...
When was that for you?
You know what? I actually think it was when I moved to New York.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a year ago. Because I think I saw it more so like, whatever I was doing or heading towards before COVID hit, when I finally got back on track to what I wanted to do, that was when I felt like I returned to the plot line.
Mm.
But those 2 years I spent in Detroit were never part of the plan. And not that that's not part of my life, but it's on hold for sure.
It's a pandemic.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, I guess I think it's interesting how you were able to use your side plot, the thing that you took a step to the side and said,
right,
well, I can't do live performances. I'm going to just post stuff on TikTok and actually make that into now your full-time career.
Yeah. And I mean, I always kind of had in the back of my mind that like, oh, this would be super cool if I became TikTok famous and like people just started watching my videos for music. But it was always just like, yeah, but that's like, that would be an absurd thing to happen. So really it was just, I'm doing this because I'm bored out of my mind. I want to be creative. Maybe some people will see it. And then they did.
It is an absurd thing to happen, but it happened and it's a good thing.
I know.
Like, wouldn't that be absurd? Yes. And
also.
Well, cool. I also wanted to kind of just talk about the evolution of your music, because I've talked about on this podcast about the difference between creating for yourself and creating for others. And we've talked about the Rick Rubin video where he's like, the audience comes last. You should be making stuff for yourself actually, especially in music, from what he was talking about, mm-hmm. I feel like that might even resonate more with you because you're a musician. Basically, how you have to make what you want to make, and then other people will enjoy it because you made it for yourself. And I feel like that can become so difficult when you have an audience of millions right. of people not only watching your videos and you want them to like it, but also their likes, their literal double taps and engagement right. is what pays your rent at the end of the month. So I am curious if you feel like you have created more for others in the past, if you feel like you've created more for yourself, and has that changed since you started TikTok?
I would say up until very recently, I was mainly making art, not exclusively, but mainly making art for other people. Even back to like learning classical music, you are taught to sing like other singers. Mm-hmm. You are taught to sound the way that an opera singer is supposed to sound like, not what your natural voice is. So I think that was kind of like my foundation, my roots in, you know, professional music. And then when people started following me, of course, I'm going to sing songs that I assume other people want because the numbers kind of reflect that. And then I started making pop music. I was still finding my voice. So I don't beat myself up too much, but I was absolutely writing songs that I thought other people would want to hear. Not really songs that I would want to listen to, but I thought algorithmically, this is going to capture people's attention. And they were all pretty basic love songs, which there's nothing wrong with. You know, love songs have been around for at least 20 years.
at minimum.
So that kind of just felt like, oh, of course, I love making pop music. That's what I'm going to write about. And then that just kind of steamrolled for the next couple of years up until the last couple months or so when I started writing, I think, more for me. I wrote a song based on a meme I saw on TikTok. It was a video of two exes, and the guy was asking, "Why did you leave me?" And then the woman responds to Hunter, her ex, "I realized I'm a lesbian, Hunter." And the way that she said it kind of sounded like there was no comma in between lesbian and Hunter. So it was like, "I'm a lesbian, Hunter." And as soon as I heard that, I just kind of thought, that's a story. That's something I want to write about. And so I wrote this song called The Tale of the Lesbian Hunter, and I posted it to TikTok. And it had way more engagement, way more views than anything I had posted in the last year and a half. And so I turned that into a full song, and I got it up. And in like 9 days, it's at like 130,000 streams.
Which is crazy.
Right,
and
right.
not like, have any of your other songs done that before?
No, not to that extent. Soldier Poet King, which I released a little over a year ago, it was averaging like 10,000, you know, 8 to 10,000 streams a day when I released it, mm-hmm. which is really good, but it's a song people had heard before. It's a cover.
Yeah.
And so just in the last week, when I started writing music that I felt, I really want to write about this, my streams doubled.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah. I mean, that is part of why I wanted to have you on the podcast at this point in time, because I feel like this is such an exciting time for you, not only your actual views on TikTok, like that's one thing, but I think more so and maybe more personally for your creativity mm-hmm. as a musician, because when I first met you, you were doing mostly covers and people yeah. would request, "Hey, cover this song." Your comments are still filled with people who say,
"Yeah,
cover this song. It's my favorite song. Do it for me. Like, just take my request and do it for me."
Right.
Which I think there's a time and place for that. Of course, you would go live on Facebook and you would take requests and it was really nice. But I could tell immediately when you sent me Tale of the Lesbian Hunter that something shifted.
He had fun with this.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no.
The first time I sensed it was a few months ago when Henry Kissinger passed away.
Oh, yeah.
He died. He's dead.
Dude is gone. He's out of here. We don't... Yeah.
He was gone before he was gone. But anyways, when Henry Kissinger died, I was sitting with you on the couch and we saw that he died and you said, "I gotta go make a song about this." And you like sprang up from the couch and you ran and you said, "I gotta go home and
I gotta
make
go
a
home.
Song." And then you stopped and you said, oh, should I wait until tomorrow? I'm like, no, he just died.
It's topical.
Go make a song about it. And that did really well, too. And I could tell that was one of those light bulb moments where you got struck with an idea, an original idea. Mm-hmm. And then just based on something that inspired you, that usually, you know, a war criminal's death doesn't inspire a musician to write a song. But it inspired you because you hate Henry Kissinger.
For anybody that doesn't know who Henry Kissinger is, dude was a warmonger. Sorry to get so political. Really, really bad dude.
This is new for the podcast, so yeah. Yeah. No, but speak on it, like, with your whole chest.
Dude carpet bombed Cambodia.
Yeah.
Not a good dude. I'm just going to leave it. Do your own research.
Famous last words. I did my own research. But long story short, this is personal to you as somebody who doesn't like Henry Kissinger. And I feel like things that are inspiring to you, and when you get inspired by something that happens and you write a song about it, you get so excited about it. And I've kind of seen that snowball with you, because I know when you do covers, I feel like you spend a lot of time making sure it sounds unique, but still similar to the original. And I know I've seen you go back and forth and spend a lot more time kind of tweaking the little details and spending a lot of time editing covers that you do. Which, obviously, I love your covers, too.
Thanks.
But I, again, like, in these recent months, you making something that is completely original to you and has your personality in it, when you're listening to your songs, or at least when I'm listening to your songs, I can kind of envision you watching that Lesbian Hunter video and standing up in a, like, waking up in a cold sweat and being like, I gotta write a song about this. And by the way, I've heard you, like, you've done this before. You're like on the verge of sleep and then you wake up and you grab your phone. I'm like, I gotta record this thing. I'm like trying to fall asleep and you're like humming a melody into your phone.
Just go to bed, babe.
No.
But yeah, I mean, I, as a creative person, I love seeing inspiration hit you. So I've been loving seeing you not just like find success musically, but also make music that you love and that you listen to and would listen to.
Yeah.
I think it's actually really interesting what you said earlier of you were making pop music that you wouldn't necessarily listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But I know with these recent songs, like we listen to them as if like it's just any old old song. And they're bangers.
And they're all awesome.
And they're all hits. And you've been cranking them out one by one because it comes so naturally to you.
Yeah.
I've never seen you work this fast on songs.
I've never worked this fast on songs.
No.
I have released 3 songs in the last 3 weeks. Another song will be out in 3 days.
For context, I've seen you labor over one song for a month before you release it. And then even then, you'll go back and make little tiny tweaks and send me a completely new version and say,
it's like, I can't.
Here's a brand new version.
I cannot
like,
tell the difference.
Did you send the right file? But what I'm saying is this stuff is just kind of like pouring out of you. It's coming so naturally to you.
Yeah.
And that's how I can tell you're in your creative flow. So sorry, I interrupted you.
I don't remember what I was saying.
You were talking about how you came out with 4 songs in 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I guess my process recently has just been scroll TikTok for a really long time and then find something that either resonates with me or infuriates me or something that is popping off that I also really enjoy. Like, for example, Jeffrey Jackson, the House of Representatives TikToker, the guy that in the House of Representatives that also makes TikToks, voted to ban TikTok. Very unpopular choice among TikTokers. So I wrote a song called The Bastard in the Kitchen, because he records all of his videos in his kitchen. In like a couple days, that video, that song had like 2 million views because just people were resonating with it because it resonated with me first. I enjoyed writing the song. It felt good to make. And then other people just kind of saw that and appreciated it, which has not always been the case with songs I write.
Yeah. Well, they were also pleasantly surprised. They were like, I wasn't expecting this from you, but please give me more.
Right.
You know, like folk slander songs. And then the most recent one that you made.
The Sad, Sad Alpha Man. That's the one that is coming out in a couple days. Some dumb idiot. He claims some dumb guy.
Official term.
Yeah. He posted a video that went viral, but like everyone was just hating on him. Because he was saying, you don't always have to accept her rejection. And if there's any confusion, yes, you do. Yeah, you do. You do have to do that. But like everyone was just hating on this guy, rightfully so. And so I kind of also jumped on that because I was pissed off about it. Wrote a song called The Sad Sad Alpha Man. And like everybody was just, yeah, this is a banger. It didn't need to be made, but I'm glad that it was.
Yeah. And I mean, I think of your recent songs, that one goes the hardest. Like that's the one that I really want to learn how to Irish dance so that I can just aggressively Irish dance to it. Sad, sad alpha man. It's so good. So yeah, I guess you already kind of covered where you get inspiration, but I do mm-hmm. want to talk more about your actual process of writing and putting together a song.
Yeah.
Because as somebody who likes music and I have written songs on the guitar before, it is truly nothing compared to what you do to put together a song. And I even feel like from watching you put together music, it changes depending on where you get the inspiration.
Yeah.
If it's just something that kind of comes to you, you might start with the melody and then put the lyrics later. Or if it's inspiring you from something you saw, like from a video, you might write the lyrics first. So tell me more about how you put together a song from start to finish.
So my process changes between, you know, song to song. But recently, my biggest tool for just getting musical ideas is a program called Splice. Basically, I pay $10 a month. It's not a sponsorship, but I pay $10 a month to have 1,000 credits on this program, Splice. And what that gives me is 1,000 downloads of millions of royalty-free samples. And so I will find a specific violin loop that I will use one credit on. And if I like the vibe of the violin, I can pay with one credit. And then I am legally allowed to use this sample, this violin part, in whatever song or track that I want to use it. So just having a foundation of an idea already there that I'm legally able to use and then build an entire song off is the biggest tool I have ever found. It's allowed me to just crank out song after song because while I have the inspiration for the song, maybe I don't have the melody or maybe I don't have the key or the tempo or the vibe of the song. But as soon as I find just a sample, it's there. The song is in my head.
So you have Splice, and from there, once you have your backing track, is that where you start still? Like kind of having the music first?
I will usually like find a guitar part or a violin part, and I'll have, you know, the tempo and the vibe of the song, and then I will just kind of mumble like or I could keep going.
Yeah.
I'll just hum to myself until I find a melody that I really, really like. And that will either be the verse or the chorus if it's good enough. And then from there, I will think of wittiest lyrics I can or the most relevant. Or if it's, you know, something from a video, I'll translate that into a rhyme for the lyrics. My inspiration kind of comes up from all over the place, but it usually goes song, idea, inspiration, rough backing track, melody, lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, that's been my order.
Yeah. So I also want to add, about a year ago, I remember you telling me that it was hard for you to start with the lyrics because you had to hear the music first and then come up with what you were trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And having something to say was one of the hardest parts for you musically because the music part came easy, mm-hmm. but figuring out what actual meaning behind the song would match that vibe was a struggle for you. And I think maybe even going back to what we just talked about creating for yourself and putting yourself into the music a little bit more, it feels like this period of being able to create so easily is because you have something to say
mm-hmm.
in addition to knowing what the vibe is. And I feel like when you were doing covers or even some other kinds of songs that were just kind of showing off how high your voice can go or whatever, I think those you spent a lot of time tweaking. But for these most recent songs, I feel like it's been interesting to see you know exactly what you wanted to say going into the song
mm-hmm.
and then having that guide you through the process. And is that, do you feel like that's what's speeding you up?
No, I think that's been one of the biggest shifts in my creative process. When I realized, not that I didn't know this already, but when I realized like a song doesn't have to be a love song. And I've written love songs. I've written love songs about you.
Yes,
because
you.
I love you very much. but I think I find when I'm pigeonholing myself into mainly that topic, it's so much harder to find ways to make that unique. Whereas recently, I've just been writing a song about any idea that comes into my head that I think might be entertaining, like about a politician I hate, the tale of the lesbian hunter, about the stupid guy saying stupid things about women online. Songs don't have to be serious. They don't have to be taken so seriously. Yeah, that's been the biggest shift.
Yeah, I mean, not to say that you didn't do a great job writing those, thanks, but I could tell that you were reaching a point where you were like, I need something different.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I love all your pop songs, especially the ones about me. And also,
of course.
I mean, even the ones that are more specific than just being a love song, like wanting to leave a party after you're socially drained.
Yeah.
That's a banger.
Thanks.
But I love that you've kind of made the shift into being the bard of TikTok, really making up stories and saying, well, what if it's not about my own experience? What if it's this made up fantasy story? And
yeah.
I feel like that's so in line already with the brand that you've built of all of your Lord of the Rings covers.
Yeah.
And I think you have a pretty big audience of people who love fantasy. So it feels correct, honestly, that you gravitated towards making up fiction stories.
Yeah.
And even if it's based in this guy talking in his car about being, you know, an alpha man, you made up a fictional story about him to make a song.
Yeah.
And I think that it just feels very correct to you. And it almost feels like musicians have to write about their own experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once you got out of that box, it feels like there was a whole world of possibilities.
Yeah. And it felt natural to do. I think the biggest like revelation about this whole transition is just I have never enjoyed writing lyrics. Sometimes I'll have a really witty line that I'll be like, ooh, I'm glad that I sat here for an hour and wrote lyrics. But up until recently, it was not enjoyable. Recently, when I've been writing just stories as like a bard, it's felt infinitely more enjoyable because it feels like it comes naturally. I want to write about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it shows. People are loving it.
Yeah.
I do sometimes scroll through your comments. I'm like, wow, everybody's obsessed with this song. Well, sweet. So I kind of want to shift gears and also ask you about being a TikToker, because when you make a living on the internet and it's kind of just you making videos, it feels like it can be hard to feel connected to other people in your space as opposed mm-hmm. to kind of working with other musicians or even being an artist who goes on tour or does a lot of live shows, which I know you want to do at some point, but I feel like bringing things into real life,
mm-hmm.
I feel like has been something that has maybe been a struggle for you. And I wanted to ask you about if you had anything to say about that, but also specifically, I know you've been doing a lot of collabs with your friend Bobby. I want you to just talk a little bit about the connections that you've been able to make
yeah.
online with other people, even if it's not in person immediately.
No, it's very cool, the position that I'm in, that I'm able to just have mutuals on TikTok that also make music and also have like a following of their own. I think Bobby followed me back like over a year ago. And we've hung out several times since. He's out in Boston, I'm out in New York. And every time that we get together and we make music, it's so cool because I sing, and he sings.
Oh. I'd love to hear you try.
Like ridiculously low. And so it's this cool dichotomy of the vocal range, like as big a vocal range as you can imagine. And so whenever we get together, we'll do a cover where he'll start out singing some ridiculously low note and I will start singing some angelic high note. And we just kind of realized, oh, something clicked. It's like we work really well together and we both have these like very large audiences and people really, really like it when we make music together. So we decided, let's do a full cover of Ed Sheeran's I See Fire. Go listen to it. It's out and it's freaking gorgeous. But we had like a video go viral on TikTok of like several million views of just the intro. That kind of prompted us to make a music video. I dress as like a Lord of the Rings elf and he dresses up as a dwarf, even though he is taller than me, which I'm salty about. But it's fine. We look ridiculous and so good. But we look ridiculous and just working with the guy has been such a pleasure. It's just so cool to have someone on the opposite end of the vocal spectrum to make music with.
Going back to kind of like meeting up in person, I also want to talk about the parasocial relationship of it all, of having so many people, especially, I mean, even since I've known you, I feel like you've just blown up even so much more and you get recognized pretty frequently now.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to have people watching you on the internet and then meeting them in real life, or even if it's other creators or people who watch you, like what is that experience like?
I would say like a year ago, it was fairly easy to forget when I was walking around and then someone out of the blue would be like, oh, you're that guy from TikTok. Recently, it doesn't happen every day, but maybe like once a week or every 2 weeks, someone will be like, hey, I love your videos. And it's so cool. It's much more on my mind that like, oh, I might get stopped on my way to get a deli sandwich. And I love it. It's the coolest thing to just be recognized for the work that I do. But it's also like a little bit distracting in the back of my mind where like, will me walking in sweatpants and, you know, a sweater with a stain on it, will that be a little bit embarrassing because someone knows exactly who I am?
Well, it's also even, they know so much about what you've done musically, depending on how many of your videos that they've watched, and you know nothing about them. I feel like right. That's always been a weird part about parasocial relationships.
Yeah. And I think that that's something that I've tried to manage with my content a little bit. Like, I haven't done too many interviews or, like, long-form talking videos just because I'm worried that people will have too much of a parasocial relationship. Like, I want a certain level of privacy in my own life. I want there to be some sort of mystique about me. I don't...
Let me be mysterious.
Let me be mysterious. Like, I think I keep my personal life fairly private.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try to keep doing that just because I don't want everybody to know what I'm up to at all times.
Of course.
I like being a private person. That being said, when people recognize me on the street and they're like, Vinny, it's the coolest experience. It's so nice to see that like a live person appreciate my work because everything that I do is digital.
Yeah. And it's not just numbers. It's actual humans
people
who are writing these comments.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I also want to kind of go back to what you said about privacy, though, because I think putting more of yourself and your personality into your songs is still creating a sense of closeness without disclosing personal details about yourself.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like, oh, I know Vinny goes to this coffee shop every day because he posts from this place. You're not posting that kind of stuff. But you are posting some more of your political beliefs. You're posting some more of your values. And that's a point of connection that I think a lot of people do when they share those personal details about themselves. But you're doing it in a way that's not necessarily breaching your own privacy.
I think I've found, at least I am actively finding, a balance because I do want people to know me as a person and not just the fact that, oh, he sings high.
Not just your brand.
He sings all pretty.
Yeah.
But it is a careful balance because I do know that, like, I have had parasocial relationships with YouTubers in the past that, you know, they had no idea who I was, but I felt very close with them, which probably wasn't the healthiest thing. And I'm trying to, like, manage that as best as I can.
Mm-hmm.
It is a balance.
Yeah. I want to also ask about, in the future, I know you've done a couple of live performances, but I know you want to get more into live performances.
Yes.
How do you feel about bringing your social audience from social media into real life one day, eventually?
It's gonna happen. I just have to get good enough at guitar and and learn how to play the songs I've written on the guitar.
Sure, yeah.
But it's gonna happen. I've not been performing live nearly as much as I want to, but it is absolutely on my to-do list.
Yeah. Well, I heard you say most musicians start out by playing live gigs and they try and build up a social following by doing in-person performances. But because you had to start on TikTok because of COVID, you are now doing the opposite and trying to bring your massive social media following and translate it into real life audiences. But you have people from all over the world who follow you. So yeah, I feel like translating that into in-person events or performances is a whole different beast.
Yeah, and I think it would be easier. I imagine starting off doing live shows and translating that to an online audience would be significantly harder than having people already know you for your work.
Yeah.
But I don't have a lot of data to back that up.
I mean, it makes sense to me that getting people to come to your shows would be easier. It's just a matter of how physical the space is. I mean, I think about this as a photographer too. When I moved my photography business to New York, I lost all of my clients because they don't live in New York.
Yeah.
But if I had an online business, for example, like if I'm a web designer, I could take on clients from all over the country and all over the world. So I feel like there's pros and cons to both. You get that in-person connection, but at the end of the day, you could just reach more people on social media. I also want to ask, what's next for Very, Very Vinny? What's next for him? Like, are you going to continue to make these storytelling bard songs? Are you going to go back to pop music? What do you feel like is the next step for you?
I mean, at least for the next few months, I'm going to try to build up a repertoire of these fun folk songs that I'm just enjoying. Maybe an album. Maybe.
You heard it here.
A compilation of all of these songs that, for whatever reason, do ridiculously well online. But I think I'm going to build up some repertoire of just, you know, songs I enjoy writing. I'm going to try to be performing live once I feel confident to do that. I'm going to be drinking some coffee.
You're really good at that.
I am.
You're like
very
so talented
good at that.
I've been consuming caffeine.
I've been doing that as you've been talking.
Yeah.
At some point, I'm going to feel like I've graduated to Very, Very, Very Vinny.
Immediate gasp. That would be too much. Don't you think? Just because you could.
They spend so much time
wondering that you should.
They never stop to ask.
Should you? Okay.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
I am. I'll be there.
You'll be a ref.
I'll be watching. Well, cool. I would like to just kind of wrap this up and basically see if you had any recommendations. Don't know if there's any musicians out there, but I feel like what you do is what a lot of people aspire to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or any combination of making videos on the internet as your full-time job.
Yep.
But specifically a creative outlet on the internet. And I would love to know if you have any advice for somebody who might want to become their own very, very insert name here.
Make a lot of bad art and watch a lot, hours of YouTube tutorials of anything. I'm serious. Of anything that you think will be useful. Because all of the information, everything is out there. Download GarageBand. Or if you have the money, get Logic. There's so much good information just online. Get good at doing a basic Photoshop. Write a lot of bad songs. Because eventually, they will start to become not so bad. This is just all stuff that I have gone through over the course of a decade of just doing so much bad art and just trying so hard to get good at. And recently, it has been paying off. I don't remember where I heard this quote, but the key to success, I'm a motivational speaker now. Do the hard thing longer than everybody else. Do the hard thing longer than everybody else because you will not succeed overnight. But if you are consistent and you are trying to get better at making art, making music, singing, whatever, it will happen. It just takes practice. So go watch some YouTube tutorials. I'm serious.
Go to YouTube.
No, I will die on this hill.
No, I agree. I started laughing because you were like, watch YouTube.
Go watch.
And you do be doing that.
I do be.
But no, I agree. That was how I learned photography. I watched a lot of YouTubers.
Right. And there is, if you can afford the private lessons for voice and if you want to go to college for audio engineering like I did, absolutely do that, but it is not necessary. I learned more, here's the hot take, I learned more from YouTube than I did in college. than my experience in college. And I learned a lot in college, but nothing compares to the amount of resources that are just in 30-minute logic tutorials.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said, too, about, you know, you've been doing this, teaching yourself how to make music for a decade.
Yeah.
Just because it's paid off in the last year or two doesn't mean that those 8 years before that were not necessary.
Right.
And somebody could look at, you know, you going viral or getting a lot of followers in the last year and say, oh, well, he got lucky, or it was an overnight success. Even like your most recent videos, mm-hmm. you could look at and say, oh, it's an overnight success. But especially when you see somebody go viral on the internet, it's never overnight. It was years in the making leading up to that one moment for them to go viral.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something to keep in mind when you see, or no matter what you do creatively, I feel like it's important to take into account that for somebody to go viral or for somebody to get a big break of some sort, it didn't just happen to them with no training or planning. It took so many years to get to that point. And I also have a quote or a story to share.
Hit me.
From my very first mentor at my very first internship. And she told me that you should always charge your worth, no matter how much actual time it takes for you to make the thing that you're being hired for.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, she told me this story about a woman she knows who designed a logo for this huge company. And they were interviewing her to do their branding. And this woman just basically sketched out their new logo on a napkin. And they were like, that's our logo. And she's like, cool. Then hire me for a year to turn it into reality. They're like, well, why would we do that if you just sketched it on a napkin in 30 seconds? And she was like, no, that took me 30 years yeah. and 30 seconds to get to the point where I could sketch on a napkin in 30 seconds.
Right.
And I feel similarly about this point in your music also. For you to be whipping out all of these songs and getting success on them and finding where you wanted to land,
mm-hmm.
that took 10 years and 1 month, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a very long-winded way of saying nothing happens overnight. You have to put in the work to get where you want to go.
Yeah.
And it can pay off, but you're right. It takes so much bad art. And to be fair, all of your old stuff is fire. I love all of your old
that's,
music.
You've heard of it. You've heard it. That's not true.
I loved it.
It was charmingly bad.
He had this whole era where he was making like little, like dee 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 dee, like stock music, and I loved it. Anyways, I guess before we wrap up, I want to ask, now that we've had this whole conversation, do you believe that the audience comes last? Do you believe in making stuff for yourself first, even when you have a million followers?
I don't think it's a black and white thing. I will tend to write a song because it resonates with me, but also because I see something popular is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody was hating on Jeff Jackson, me included. It was resonating with me, but also I figured this probably will resonate with other people because I feel that way too.
Yeah.
So I think it really is a balance. But ultimately, I am making the art for me more so than I have been.
That's a good way of putting it. Well, I adore you. I adore your music.
I adore you too.
I feel so proud of everything that you've done.
Thanks.
And again, like even the stuff you've done in the last year has been mind-blowing. So keep up the good work.
Thanks. And thanks for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, of course. Thanks. I know you said I don't do interviews, so what an exclusive,
yeah. Yeah.
exclusive interview I just received. Yeah, this was fun. Maybe we'll do it again sometime.
I'd love to.
So, before we wrap up, where can we find you on the internet? What are all your little places for us to check you out?
You can type in very, very Vinny. Vinny is spelled V-I-N-N-Y, not I-E, on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, not Facebook.
Rest in peace.
My Facebook account was hacked. I no longer have access to it. Maybe that will change, but at the moment, not there.
Not there.
Yeah.
Well, karma treated you well, because immediately after that happened, he went super viral.
That's true.
And then ate other things. Well, awesome. So go check out Vinny's stuff. Listen to him on Spotify specifically, Vinny Markey.
Yes.
I'll link all of that in the show notes. But yeah, anything else to say?
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for listening. It has been my pleasure.
Wow, it's been my pleasure.
It's been our pleasure.
Our collective pleasure. Awesome. Well, cute.
And your pleasure.
Hopefully. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right. That's all from me. As always, if you have a special guest that you'd like me to invite on the podcast, please send me a message at creativejuicebox.pod on Instagram or at my main photography Instagram, which is at Hannah Holland Photo. I will do my very best to shoot my shot and get them on the podcast, but no promises. All right. With that, go create something today, get a juice box if you want, and I will see you in the next episode.